Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. 28 years ago, I graduated from college, boarded a train to Seattle, Washington, and embarked on a journey that truly changed my life, a journey of faith that truly changed my life. For the next 5 years, I would live and work in the L'Arche community, an organization that I had previously known nothing about. I entered a workplace and a living place rather blindly, and found that this was the very place that I learned to see. In the L'Arche community, I lived and worked with folks of varying intellectual and physical abilities. Some were blind, some were deaf, some were nonverbal, some were born with Down syndrome, some with birth traumas, cerebral palsy, or muscular dystrophy. Some were PhD scholars, some were Jesuit priests, some were refugees from war-torn countries, some were mothers and fathers, some were recent college graduates, some were former Wall Street employees, some were retirees. We were a community filled with a diverse demographic, living together, learning from one another, and trusting in God above all else, who brought us there, who sustained us in our wounds, our trials, and our conflicts, and in doing so revealed to us the essence of life. These 5 years in this faith-based community are what led me to enter Luther Seminary, and now I get to live within the faith-based community of the church and see the essence of life revealed to me in the very same ways once again. As we just heard Pastor Grangard read in today's gospel story, Jesus reveals life in the very places human beings tend to overlook. At the center of the story, we see Jesus and a man born blind and the communal controversy around his healing. Now, I have a gut reaction to the premise that is laid out in this story, that the man born blind is in need of healing, because my experience has been the complete opposite. My friends who are blind have actually been the ones to reveal to me my own need of healing. On my very first day of faith formation in the L'Arche community, our teacher said that the common Christian practice of the Western Church is to listen. The common Christian practice of the Eastern Church is to gaze. And she invited us to spend our days at L'Arche learning to more fully gaze with the eyes of our hearts. And so that's what I learned to do. And in today's gospel story, the neighbors and the religious leaders, I believe, have a little bit of a harder time gazing with the eyes of their hearts. They are looking at this man who the gospel says is blind from birth, but they do not truly see him. Looking in this passage and seeing in this passage are two different things. One is about external appearances. The other is about the inner awareness of the heart. Both are important, but I find that it's easier for human beings, and most of us are conditioned to look through only one lens, and that lens is being what meets the eye at the surface level. But as Jesus reveals over and over, true life is revealed in the places we least expect. Most poignantly, our faith is built on the power of the cross. As the Apostle Paul says, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the very power of God. Today's gospel reveals God's vision test for our lives. Is our vision expanding or is it shrinking? Is it changing or is it staying the same? Are we seeing others and God's world in new ways, or are we sticking to the more familiar patterns that have brought us comfort? Is our vision becoming clearer, or is it cloudier? Who do you notice? Who do you avoid? What sights pain you in the day-to-day? What sights make you smile? Whose behaviors do you question, and whose behavior gets a free pass? How expansive or myopic is your vision? These are the questions Jesus is asking all of us in today's gospel story. By taking the very essence of creation, Jesus picks up mud from the earth, spreads it over the blind man's eyes, and tells him to go wash at the pool of Siloam. And in doing so, this man's life is transformed. And his testimony, his firsthand experience with Jesus, is what paves his future path. The man simply says in this story, as his testimony, "He put mud on my eyes. I washed, and now I see." The neighbors and the religious leaders want more details. How did this happen? Who did this for you? But his testimony gives us all we need. He was blind, and now he sees. The pool of Siloam opens his eyes just like the waters of baptism open ours. Though both are testimonies to one-time experiences, both the washing in the pool of Siloam and our baptism shape the way we see every single day. The man's washing at the pool of Siloam changes the way he sees everything. Our baptisms do the same for us. And though we don't always realize it, it's the promise in baptism that sustains us our whole life long and even into death. The promises in baptism aren't always flashy, but they are steady reminders of Christ's daily dying and rising in us and the wider world. They give us a deeper and more lasting identity than any label the world may give. I speak about this often, but when I was baptized, my grandpa, who happened to be a Lutheran pastor himself, made me and all of the grandchildren baptismal candle holders to hold our baptism candles. We hung them above the light switches in our rooms so that every time we would leave our room, we would be reminded of the promise that we were children of God, that we were baptized, and that wherever we go, we would carry the light of Christ with us. I didn't realize the significance of this at the time. I probably never thought about the significance of it. But now as an adult, having experienced hardship and heartache, sadness and anger, seemingly impossible situations to problems or conflicts with others, I am so grateful for the vision my grandpa had in helping me and my siblings and my cousins discover this truth, that there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that separates us from God's eternal, life-giving, life-saving love. Not death, not divorce, not disease, not failure, not the color of your skin, not the country of your origin, not your abilities or inabilities, not your work status, not your possessions. Nothing in all of creation separates you from God's love. Baptism, like the pool of Siloam, opens our eyes, and it changes the way we see ourselves, our community, and the world around us. It helps us to actually see our neighbors. Sometimes we witness beauty like we've never seen before, and sometimes we experience heartbreak that we would never wish upon ourselves or anyone else. Yesterday, I've already mentioned, I got to spend the day with 400 of you beautiful, eager-hearted Mount Olivet volunteers. And I was struck especially with one couple who came to serve. They are expecting a baby in exactly 1 month from today. And they told me they just installed the car seat in their car. And so they feel ready for when that baby comes. And that moment brought me back to the very place in my own lives when I had my kids. And that first car ride home, the pure joy, the insanely careful driving, the eyes glued upon your newborn child's every breath as you watch their chest go in and out. The worry, the weight, the wonder of how this little one will survive with just you and not the constant presence of the hospital staff or the professionals that would meet my every question or need or worry. And then I realized that I had to just let go and trust that God's promise of life for my newborn baby, for my newly formed family, for the world that surrounded me, that would be enough. That raising my beloved children required trust in something I can't always see. God's promise and hope for all of us is life. And today's gospel story at the Pool of Siloam makes that clear. The man at the pool receives new sight, but we don't hear anything more about him in the whole gospel. I think that's the way it often is with gospel truth. The impact isn't always easily defined or described or promoted even, but it is seen and it is felt in the heart. The word Siloam incidentally means sent. We don't know anything about this man, as I just said, but we do know this. He was sent by Jesus. Just as you are sent by Jesus, just as I am sent by Jesus through the waters of baptism with open eyes and expanded vision for the purpose of life, for yourself, for your family, for your community, for the life of the world. This is the way of Jesus. Even in the moments you would never choose for yourself, just like Jesus' journey to the cross, God's promise holds you and sustains you and reminds you that death never has the final word. Jesus died, yes, but Jesus rose again to show you and me that nothing will ever have the final say, for God's love is too powerful and God's life is too strong for anything less to prevail. Thanks be to God. Amen.